Of course, I know it's not doing this, but this morning I was having my shake, the green slime red stuff shake I drank of a morning that, and it tasted grainy, and I thought, what is not ground up in here? I could never get it ground up. I couldn't figure out, and then as I got down there towards the end of the big, it's a big mixer thing, and there was something funny in my mouth, and I took it out, and it was the paper packet to that stuff to keep moisture out of your, and it somehow it came, I got it out with a spoon, big spoonful of powder stuff, and dumped the moisture bag in there, and so I end up drinking the silly thing, and I thought, well, there's a bag. What? Then it hit me. You just drank the moisture zapper. So I thought, next time something's grainy like that, you'll know to stop and say, "Up, don't finish that." But anyway, so I had the. I'll let you know if that stuff will bother you or not. So I just. We've all done this, and one thing, you can tell something's not right, but you keep doing it anyway, and it's like, what's wrong with you, you know? But I wanted to finish that shake. It's got my beet, and all that ground up beet and stuff in it, and things that just make you all just, it makes anybody just hungry to think about it, and all that spirulina and green, good green gooey stuff, algae, and then all the great things, and then it's just grainy. Thought, is that what didn't dissolve? Well, those things, that so you'll know, they won't dissolve in water very good. So hope it dissolves in here. But they may, look at me here in a couple of weeks, and they do the exam and say, what is all that grainy stuff down there? And it's like, that's my moisture zapper in my stomach. Yeah. So today's message is not about moisture zapping. What do you call those little things? What do you call those little packs, huh? Okay, yeah. Yeah, desiccant. Poison. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's so... Somebody research that and see if it'll harm you if you eat it. Because I didn't eat it, by the way. I drank it. So the title of this is Letting God Do What God Wills to Do, basically. And that's a long title. Letting God Do What God Wills. That's it. Just let Him do what He wills to do. And it's like you've got to let Him. And God has His will. He's teaching me a lot more. I'm going to tell you something. If you think, I've been preaching, teaching this stuff for all these years and living this thing out, and yet you still have to go through more to learn more. We fight the Lord on our spiritual education. I fight Him. It's human nature to fight God on our spiritual education. And you might be asking, what do you mean? It's like when things happen that you can't fix, that you yourself you didn't have anything to do with it, and you can't stop. Just my thing here that I'm having to deal with. I can't deal with it because I can't get in there. And it's God calling. Hello. I can't get in there and fix it. Yeah, you have a little bump come up or whatever, you can work on that. But when a bump comes up like that, you can't see it, fix it. And we all have those things. We have things of different kinds. It may be physical like this, or it may be financial. But it's a bump in the road, or sometimes it turns into something a little more serious than a bump. But the whole point is we come to the place where we have to have our spiritual education broadened, and we have to move to another plateau of understanding in our relationship with God and our walk with Him. So listen to this. And so God will allow, and if you're facing things in your life right now that you don't understand, frustrations, discouragement, Just whatever you're having to do, it could be financial, it could be spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, it can be whatever. And family, friendships, it could be physical things like this, whatever. But you have to stop and ask God, okay, is there a part of my spiritual education involved in this? Am I to learn something from this that's to broaden my perspective of you, that is to give me breadth and width in my life, depth of wisdom, knowledge and understanding? And God, is there something in this that you want me to take and to help others with? If you don't ask that, you're going to miss your education. You have to go through it again. I can guarantee you with stuff like I'm wrestling with now, I don't want to go through it again. So I want to get the education I'm supposed to get. I want to know what is your will in this? And that's what you need to ask Him. And we get mad and we get upset, or we're angry, we're disappointed, we get so down in depression. We can get oppressed by it. And yet, you know, it all comes down to God allow things in our lives we can't handle, that we can't fix. People say and do things to us, and we didn't cause it, and we can't fix it. Probably nothing's hurt me more than the things that, and you too, that people you didn't expect it from said or did to you, and you can't fix that. You didn't make them do it. They chose to do it. They chose to behave the way they're behaving. And you, what do? That's when you have to say, God, what are you teaching me through this? What is it that I have to let you do that's in your will for this thing? Because you could have stopped it, but you didn't. So therefore, you either want to work a miracle from it, you're broadening my education, certainly. You want this as a ministry to others. God doesn't waste anything that ever, ever, ever on this earth that ever happens to you. So remember that. So don't you waste it with remorse, with guilt, with frustration or despair. And let me read just this little two verses out of the book of Hebrews. It's Hebrews 13. And it says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. You hear that? He brought back Jesus from the dead, and it says, now may He equip you for everything good for doing His will, and may God work in us what is pleasing to Him. And there's the catch. What's pleasing to Him, it didn't say pleasing to us. Pleasing to Him. May God work in us. And He'll equip us with everything good for doing His will. And may God work in us what's pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And so do you grab this? This is a prayer, and this is saying, so God equip us. So let's just break this. We're going to break these two verses down, dissect them. It's an exegetical type of message. Exegesis means you take it word for word or verse by verse and break it down, and you translate it and explain it. And so, first of all, he says the God of peace. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to, listen to me. He said, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the covenant brought back Jesus from the dead, shepherd of sheep, do these things. Number one, if you don't have peace in your heart with God, if you don't have God's peace in you right now, then the rest of this stuff is really hard to maintain or to achieve, much less maintain. If you don't have peace, then it means there's something disturbing you. You've let the world get to you. You're angry. You're unforgiving. You're mad at God. Whatever it is, when you don't have peace, or you feel so bad about something in your life, something that you did, something you didn't do that God wanted you to do. But the first point in this is let God give peace. And if there's anything, and the work of ministry that I see constantly that's lacking of many things, but one of them always shines up there, and it's they don't have peace. This person has no peace. This person's most of them never known peace. It's like, has your life always been in such turmoil? Is everything in your life a temper fit? Cussing everybody? Mad at everything? You go to bed mad and you wake up mad? You just wait for somebody to add to the mad? Any of you know people like that? It seems like they just live to get mad. They wake up saying, make me mad. And you know what? If you go out like that, somebody will sure oblige you. You won't even make it to the interstate and they'll already have made you mad. God says, I don't want you that way. He says, the God of peace who through all this brought back Jesus and equipped you and do all this. He said, let God give you peace. And what does He want for you? He wants to give you peace through faith in Jesus Christ. You can't have peace any other way. Listen to me. People are looking for peace in the world. They're coming back. I thought we were done with them, but they're coming back. I know some out there, you know, they don't like all my views on things. But you know those coexist stickers, bumper stickers? You've seen them, coexist. Everybody familiar with them? Yeah. They got the cross and the sickle and the star and all faiths, all religion, let's all coexist. Those stickers are coming back. They went away in the last 4 years, but now they only want to coexist when they have their way. It's easy to say, let's all get along and coexist when I've got what I want going for me. Okay, and so it's coexist. Let's all get along and have peace with each other. What that really means, by the way, is I've got what I want. I don't like what you know when it was your way, but I've got my way, so I want you to shut up and like it. The coexist thing is this. People can never coexist, and I see all those religious symbols on that coexist sticker. Listen to me. You can't coexist through religion. You coexist through believing in Jesus Christ and Him alone. You can fool yourself into saying all religions can get along. No, I'm sorry, they really can't. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. So you can put all the other symbols you want to up there, and it will not get you any closer to heaven. And if we don't believe together, it doesn't mean that we might not all agree together on how to do the Lord's Supper, whether you should take it in one of those little throwaway cups that we have to do now because of COVID, or whether we should really break the bread, water. So we can disagree on substance, but not on why we do it and not on who it's about. See, we believe in Jesus Christ. We take the Lord's Supper. How we do it, we can discuss that all day long as we do it. And as long as it's focused on Jesus and nobody else. Everybody with me? So Christians can have those kind of disagreements. It's okay. You know, whether we sit at tables or we sit in pews. Oh, Lord help us. But anyway, or whether we sit in chairs all stacked all the way back. Those kind of things, or what color was this or that. That's all stuff that's not what. But what matters is the church, is the body of Christ really built around Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. And if it's not, and somebody else says, no, I want to introduce my religion into this, we're not going to coexist. Because God has told you and me not to compromise. We can't. And somebody will say to me, and I know, somewhere, you know, somebody probably saying, listen to this. Well, Pastor, don't you mean you don't love people of other religions? Didn't say that. Jesus loves everybody, but because He loves them does not mean they're going to heaven. Everybody with me? Do I care about somebody of another faith or what? Yeah. But I'm not going to compromise my belief in Jesus Christ so that we can get along. As a matter of fact, let me say this to you for this peace thing. If you listen, is you ever notice that people of other faiths, other religions, no religion, they always want Christians to compromise and bend their way, but they're never willing to bend and come our way? How many of them will say, well, you know what? We'll accept you. We'll come to you. No, they want Christianity to always break its rules, disobey God to do what they want. Well, I'm going to tell you something. No, we won't. You come our way. We're not compromising for you. That's it. I love you, but we're not going to play patty cake. We're going to walk the straight and narrow path. That's what we're called to do. Everybody hear this? And there's this thing out there, you know, all this philosophy out there said, well, I know, but these other lifestyles and all this other stuff, and God just wouldn't send me a person to hell. Because yes, He would. He won't send you to hell. You choose to go to hell because you reject Jesus Christ and reject His Word. I've said this in here in times past, but it's true. God doesn't send people to hell. They choose to go to hell because they want to live lives of self-pleasing here, selfishness, self-centeredness. I want what I want. And they just they thumb their nose at God and say, and you can like it, lump it, or you know whatever, you know, and take it or leave it. And God is saying, I love you, but you're not entering my kingdom. You only get one shot. And that's why you're on this earth. If you sound like I'm really hitting it hard this morning, I really am, because there's so much pressure on Christianity to compromise, to accept other things that we can't. If it says in this Bible that it's wrong, it's wrong. If it says in here it's right, and that's all there is to it, friends. And don't let anybody get you into some philosophical discussion. Walk away from it. You know, about, well, yeah, but that was written in the Old Testament. Or that, here's what I've been told. They changed the word when they translated it. That's not really what. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And so what I tell people, and I don't have to do this often, but I will do it. When somebody starts that, I will tell them to their face, no, the problem with you is that what you believe, they changed that word and what you believe, and that's why you don't believe. They rewrote that Bible for you. If you're of this religion or whatever, do you know they left out how many books and how many chapters and changed how many verses? Isn't it amazing that the things that people generally accuse you of are what they're guilty of themselves? Enough of this. So what's that got to do with peace? This. I said all this to get us focused on, if you compromise, you'll never have peace, because the Holy Spirit in you will be grieved. And you, if you grieve the Holy Spirit, you won't have peace. Every time you compromise the Word, you disobey the Word, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. And we can't do that. The Holy Spirit is extremely sensitive. And here's the problem. A compromise today, allowing a little sin tomorrow, and soon the Spirit's grieved and your joy is gone and you have no peace. Friends, you can't risk it. Can't afford it. Get the peace. Let God give you peace, and God gives it through your faith in Jesus Christ. When I believe in Christ, the Spirit's working to transform me into who Christ wants me to be. And one of those things is a person of love. The other one's a person of peace. And then the other one's faith, of course. Don't grieve the Spirit by just, you know, a little. You ever done that? You let something a little bit, something slide a little today, and it's like, I don't want to talk to them. Tell them I'm not here. And I know that's stepping on, you know, have we all done it? You know, tell them I'm not here, and you're sitting right there. They're not here. And then tomorrow it's something, and you have to say something to cover up that fact. Hey, I saw your car at your house, but they said you weren't there. And then you tell a bigger whopper to cover that whopper. And you ever thought of just saying, you know, hey, tell them this is not the time for me to talk. If you don't want to talk to somebody, or somebody calls you, you don't have anybody to fill in for you, why duck it? Why don't you just say, hi, I'm sorry, this is not a good time. You really wouldn't want to talk to me right now. Tell them the truth. Call me back later, because this is not the day for it. Why don't you, we just shoot straight? Tell them the truth. If you do that, you'll have peace. That's what this is all about. God wants you to have peace through your faith in Christ, peace through the Holy Spirit's presence. God wants to transform you into the character of Christ. And He wants you to be a peacemaker everywhere you go. God doesn't want Christians to start wars. I want you to listen to me now. We're not here to start arguments and we're not here to start fights. You realize that? When you're the one that starts the thing, that's not what Christ has called us to do. I want you to hear me though. It's how often does Christ put you and me in the middle of something, or He just brings it around us and we can't get out of it? How often does He do that so that we become His peacemakers? And how often do those who want to make peace have to go to war to get it? I'm astounded by how those who love peace so much are the ones that have to get in there and fight to get it. See, the peacemakers are the ones that are involved. God will put you in the middle of something and you get hit, you get wounded, you get hurt. You have to take some strong action and exercise strong love to bring peace. But that's part of our calling. Never start the thing. But I guess you could say we certainly are finishers, aren't we? We have to wrap it up to get that peace back in motion. Peacemakers are the first to get shot at. You keep it in mind. How many people have gone to war, young people, to bring peace to somebody else, and they give their lives to do it? They didn't want to go. They didn't relish the thought. And we see these war movies, and you watch this stuff, and it just, you know, me too. It looked all, you know, wow, you know, yeah, I want to do that. Until you're out there, until you smell it, hear it, until you don't know wherever you're stepping, there's a little three-pronged thing sticking up, and it's a personnel mine. You step on it, it clicks, and in that moment of realization, this is the end. And you live with all that, and it's not movies anymore. It's not Hollywood, and it's a real deal. And you're there, and you don't want to be there. Friends, listen to me. That's the way it is in Christianity. You get put in situations you don't want to be in. You get called to Christian service. God puts you in places of spiritual, listen to me, of spiritual warfare, spiritual combat. And there's landmines out there. There's demons attacking. The devil is guiding his forces, and they come and they're arrayed against you. It's the same thing. And I have found that the spiritual combat is much more deadly, much more hurtful than actual combat will ever be. Because it wounds the heart. If you're not careful, it'll wound your heart. It'll strike your mind. It'll take your joy. It'll plummet you from a lofty position of being filled with the Spirit and walking with Christ to being a really hurt, beaten up person that has to struggle just to get up every day. This is the real life. This is what it is. This is what it means to battle. To bring peace, you have to be willing to go get it. And first of all, you got to have it in your own heart. And the greatest battle that you and me, you and I will ever fight, that either one of us will ever fight, is the battle in our heart, overcoming our own doubts, our own inferiority complex, our own low self-esteem, our own what happened to me in the past syndrome. That is the greatest battle for peace you'll ever fight, is to just take out that is stuff that is in your stuff, that is in you, that needs to go, that's fighting against peace. Jesus Christ has come to equip us with everything good for doing God's will, but you got to have peace in your heart to do it. And if there's anything in your life you need to get right with God, let it go, turn it loose, confess it, then do it. And how many through your temper or through your words have ever caused a fight? You didn't want to, but you did it. You just couldn't keep it zipped. You just had to have the last word, didn't you? And all, you know, as I say, all Hades broke loose. It really does. And it's like, and how many of you have ever walked away or finally gotten away from something and thought, why did I say that? Because you did not let peace rule in your heart, which is what? The Holy Spirit guiding that peace. Well, we can't beat this to death, so let's move on. And then with that peace, which you've got to have, then let God equip you with that peace in your heart. Let God equip you. Let Him make you complete. Let Him, well, you look at your point. You just let God equip you. What does that mean? Let God make you complete in His armor, in His peace, in His love, in His power. Let God do for you what only God can do. Let Him mend what's broken and torn. Everybody in this room has something broken or has had. Everybody in this room has something that has been or is now torn and needs mending. We have habits. We have addictions. We have fallbacks. Things that we just drop right back to that so that old carnal nature to defend ourselves. How many of you really truly have a problem just immediately not going into defense mode if somebody says something offhand or they make a joke about you? You just get defensive just like that. Anybody? Okay. All right. Thanks. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And it's a hard thing. And you know you don't want to go there, but because of what's happened to you in your life, you just quickly there. You ever notice that once you do that, it's so hard to get out? It is hard to get out. And so what it says is, and this is not picking on anybody, and I used to do it a lot. There was a time when I'd been hurt so bad in ministry. I mean, I even walked around and I had a posture of this arm. See, your physical posture can so often reflect what's going on in here. I walked with my arm bent like this, and it was like a shield. Some of you who've known me a long time might remember that posture that I used to walk. And I just had an arm out there, and it was, see, what was that? That was guarding. It was a reflection of what was in here. And what did it say about me? This is a guy that's been really hurt, really wounded, and he's not going to let that happen again. And boy, anything anybody said, just joking, tuck it as an offense. Guess what happened? God had to let me be offended so much that I finally decided, you know what? I think God's allowing. There's more offenses coming than there have been in my life. I need to get this right with God. I need to confess this. It's become a problem for me, a bigger problem than the one I'm blaming for causing it. Listen to me. God wants to mend what is broken. He wants to mend what is torn. He wants that self-defense thing put down, brought out of your life so somebody can make a cutting remark, make a bad joke about you, and you can just laugh with them. Who cares? Who cares? God wants to put right what's broken between you and Him. So you can have peace. So you can be complete. So you can be equipped to do His will. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God for whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So get this thing right. You know, don't grieve Him anymore. God wants to supply what you need to live as a Christian. Whatever it is you need to live as the Christian He called you to be, God wants to, listen to me, God, here's what God wants to make you into, and whatever's in your life that's resisting this, then get it confessed right now. Because God wants to mold you and me into a kind, generous, peace-loving, peace-giving Christian. That's what He wants. He wants to mold us into a kind, generous, peace-loving, peace-giving Christian, and let Him look at your heart and they say, just like the psalmist prayed, Lord, search my heart, know me, and reveal to me any unclean thing. And that's what we need to ask God every day. God, anything in my life that's unclean, let's get it out right now. Convict me of it, and I'll confess it, and I want to be what you want me to be, because I want to have peace in my heart, and I want to be fully equipped. And I want people to look at me and say, there's a kind, generous, peace-loving, peace-giving Christian going right there. Thirdly, you know, let God do His will. What else can I say? Let God do His will. And you say, huh? Let Him. You know, let him give peace. Let him equip me. But let him do his will. Now listen to me. Most of my church life, I've been taught this and even done it myself. I said, you need to find the will of God. You need to go out and fulfill it. I want to tell you something about that. When the Old Testament, there was more of that. Do you know how to do God's will on this earth? Back in the Old Testament, they had to perform so many works to, you know, and they had to earn God's favor, and they had to go to sacrifices, and they had to follow the rules, follow the law. Well, we're not under law, we're under grace. So what does a Christian do right here, right now? Listen to me. To do God's will, you don't go find His will. You submit to the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and God will fulfill His will in and through you. It's not a secret thing that you have to go find, like they used to have to discover what is the will of the Lord. And I was taught that as a young Christian. You got to discover God's will. Well, where's it at? Under a rock? How can a human being discover the will of God? Why not let the will of God be revealed to a peace-loving, Spirit-filled, fully equipped Christian? And if you're walking in the Lord's Spirit, with the Lord, in fellowship with the Lord, God will reveal and complete and fulfill His will because you're in fellowship with Him, because you're at peace with Him, because you're at peace with your fellow Christians. Does that make sense? I remember in college going through all these things and then these classes in seminary and, you know, discovering, there was classes, discovering the will of God. I've been to seminars. Discovering His will. And then one day it hits you. What? Is God hiding His will out there somewhere? Is He like some multi-billionaire that goes and hides sacks of money and says, find it? You mean God hides His will and it's up to me my whole life? That's my purpose, is to seek His will. Mostly never find it. No, God's will is for, you know, each one of us was born with a purpose and God has a will for us. You don't go find it. You let it be revealed by being in fellowship with Him. If you open your heart to Him, He will reveal His will. He'll put you on the path and you'll be doing it before you know it. So let Him do His will. Let God work it out in God's way, in God's timing, in God's love. It's not always easy. You may have to go through things to be fully equipped, to be living in His will. I'll ask you a question. It's a rhetorical type question, but, you know, do you think that this thing that I'm dealing with, do you think that it's in God's will? And you know, the answer to that is, yeah. Because He could have prevented it, or He could just take it right out. And He can do that. I'm praying He will. But is this some part of His will and my spiritual education that is necessary in my personal life? Yes. Get this. Because of what I do, ask yourself this. Is what Pastor is dealing with right now and the messages that's coming from it, is He going through this not only for His sake, but for us? So that we receive the messages that come from His experiences from this. And the answer to that is absolutely yes. And the question for all of us is, are you willing in God's will to go through things so that others can be ministered to and helped in their journey in this life? Other people see or experiencing illnesses and will in the future, and they need to hear, oh, you've been through that? Yeah. You've had those fears? Yeah. You struggled with all the things that come with it and doubts and back and forth and all that to finally find peace with God about it and say, whatever you want to do, do it. Yeah. How comforting is that to someone else who's fresh on the job, who's just going through this thing? Friends, listen, most Christians, we're not willing to go through stuff so that other people can be healed, so they can be saved. But that's our calling. Jesus suffered, and it says we're to be like-minded and willing to suffer as He did, so that what? Others can be saved. Now, if you think I'm jumping up and down about all this in there, no. It's not funny to have the thing put in your mouth and tubes in you and all that kind. No. And so far, everywhere I've been, it's been a witnessing experience. In the prep rooms and the operating rooms. It has. And I'm talking to them. We're talking about the Lord. We're doing all this stuff. And it's like, wow, how often do they get a chance to do that? Is that a pat on the back to me? Nah. I let God down way too much for that. But that's what we're called to do. We can focus and say, oh me, oh my, poor me. Or we can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't want this. Take it away. And just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, nevertheless, Father, you know, if you won't take this cup away, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Work a miracle so see people. This is what I'm praying. Work a miracle so people can see a miracle of healing so they know God still does those things. So that God still works miracles of healing. But whatever you choose to do, let you get the glory. That's the thing. You get the glory. That's what matters in the end. This is thinking stuff, isn't it? You got to really reflect on some of this material. Oh, believe me. To bring this, I've had to do a lot of thinking myself. And this is just stuff I've been going through with the Lord. And it's like, Tony, have peace. Have peace. You can't go to the hospital you can't get the people you want to do. You got to be farmed out and do all this stuff. Is that frustrating? Yeah, I get it frustrated. And it's like, well, so does everybody else, Tony. Is frustration a sin? No, letting it remain can turn into one. We all have those initial things. So you just think about it. So anyway, so let God do it through you. Let God work His will in your life by submitting to Him. Give it to God. Whatever it is that you're not having peace with, give it to Him. Surrender to the Holy Spirit of peace. Surrender to Jesus Christ who gives peace. Let Him equip you. Now, let me just close with this. In letting God do His will, how do you do it? It's one thing, and you hear this all the time. People get up and say, you need to do this, and God, thus saith the Lord. I grew up with that. You know what they didn't do? They didn't tell me how to do it. That's why you hear the practical applications in so many of these messages. Well, I lived a lot of my Christian life, or my young Christian life, when you're molded, your moldable years in Christianity, people saying, thus saith the Lord, and God says this, and God says that. But I'd go home, and I wanted to do it, but nobody told me how. What does this look like? How do you do it? You know, somebody tells you to go, you know, this is what you got to do. You want to give me an instruction sheet here on how to do that? So here's how you do this, what God is asking today, to be a person of peace, to have His peace in your heart, to be complete, fully equipped, and to let Him do His will. Number one, you do it with honest prayer. If I can say this in street language, I'll put it this way. Quit jerking God around with your prayers. Man, we do a song and dance with God. And we're not willing. He knows our hearts, and yet we're not willing to say, God, you know, I'm really frustrated to you about this. I'm really disappointed that this happened in my life. I really don't understand, and I love you, God, but right now, we won't get that honest. And until you do, you're not going to have breakthrough prayer. Or, God, I'm really upset with some of your people. We come and do a song and dance with the Lord. We really jerk Him around. We really do. And we try to manipulate the Lord and say, God, you know this, I'll pray all these church prayers we've heard. Why don't you just get down with it and say, look, I'm sick of living. I hate this thing. I'm kind of ticked off at you. I'm not happy anymore. I'm not having the joy. Frankly, I'm miserable. You think that's going to shock Him? He's going to say, about time you admitted it. I'm kind of tired of listening to it in your head. And it's amazing the power that comes when we have honest prayer with God and we tell Him the truth. I know this may sound silly to you at first, but you think how many prayers we've prayed, all of us, me too, to God, and we weren't being really straight with the Lord. We didn't tell Him what was really in our heart. Even though He knew it. And it's not till we get honest in our prayers That it's not till we do that that we find honest peace and honest equipping, honest power, honest fellowship, honest healing in our lives. You're going to have some true study of the Word, not just read a little verse and go to work. But grab some verses and sit down and say, what is your thought in this? What is your will for me in what I just read? I'm going to sit here, Lord, and just think about it a minute. I'm going to read this over and over until I get an idea from you, until I get your truth come through for me, until I get vision. And I'm going to have to be simple in my asking. Do you ever try to twist God's arm when you pray for something? Try to convince Him of all the reasons that He needs to do this for you? Have you ever thought about just coming to God and saying, you're my Father and I'm your child, and I really need that $3,000 or that $10,000 or $200 or whatever it is. I just need it bad, and you know, oh, that bill or this whatever. Would you help me in Jesus' name? Why don't you just be simple? God, I have a thing, you know, on me, and that's what He's showing me about this is, why don't you ask me to simply heal you instead of going through this elaborate stuff? Why don't you just ask me to reach in there and take it out? Would you reach in there and take it out? That's what I'm praying. However you choose to do it, would you reach in there and take it out? That's simple. Straight to the point. Isn't that what Jesus said to do? He said, don't utter a bunch of words. Don't mumble a bunch of stuff like the heathen do. But He said, go into your room and pray to your God who's in secret. And your God who hears in secret will reward you openly. He said, no, you don't have to use a bunch of words. Just say it. Be simple. God, I pray for this person over here to be healed, and I pray for this one to heal. Lord, I pray for this one to have some wealth, financial wealth and blessings in their lives. I pray for this person to find a good person for them. They need a helpmeet. We need this. God, would you do it? And you keep praying that till either He tells you stop praying that or He'll do it. Simple. Keep it simple. And be simple, and be simple in your faith. Don't complicate faith. Just believe. I just put a note in here, and I've got to close. I've reached my time limit, but I'm past it. But I put a little asterisk here, and it's because this confuses me. I've never understood why some people enjoy being less than God's chosen people. Why they enjoy being less than God has for them. You ever noticed that? Why do so many, and I'll say so many, not some, so many people enjoy being less than God's will for them, and then less than God's chosen people, less than being godly people. I've known people that they're just grouchy. They pick on other people. They got a smart word for everything you say. And they call themselves Christians, but they have a smart mouth. They just run you down. They're never comforting. It's like, do you have a compassionate bone in your whole body? You know what I'm saying? You've been around them, right? And they don't have any empathy. There's some people, if you've got woes and problems, you know not to go to them because they can't feel for you. They don't have any feeling for anybody. Listen to me. If you happen to be one of those, something's wrong. God will give you a compassion. I've had people say, well, it's my personality. It's my temperament type. Oh, take that and put it somewhere else. Regardless if you're a real introvert or you're an extreme extrovert, the Holy Spirit of God will give you love and empathy and compassion for your fellow Christians. And if you don't have it, you are a hard-hearted person that needs to get right with God. Y'all hear that? Okay. I'm serious. Because I've had people even brag about it. Brag about the fact. Now, I'll tell you right now, people don't get away with anything with me. I just tell them like it is. I'll tell them off. And it's like, good for you. The devil and his demons are so happy with you. Every time you tell them off, the devil jumps up and down, says, atta girl, atta boy. Telling people off's not our business. Tell them about Christ is. Anyway, in closing, finally, how do you do this? Honest prayer, some real true study, simple faith, Simple asking, simple believing, simple faith. And then ask God to do work in you what pleases Him. God, do whatever you want to do in me, whatever makes you happy, whatever brings you honor and glory. Peace is what you said, and you're the God of peace. I want to be holy as you are holy. I want to be righteous, Lord, as you are righteous. Make me righteous. Fill my heart with grace like you have grace for me. And Lord, work good works through me so that others will see them and come to you. And Lord, always give me faith, because your word says without faith it's impossible to please you. God, give me righteous thoughts and good works. God, give me a joyful attitude. Friends, the world needs a joyful attitude. We all want to be around someone who has a joyful attitude, who just won't quit, who just won't give up. It's not that they're the jokers of the world, but just a joyful. You're just drawn to someone that's got a positive, joyful attitude. Let God make you into a person. Listen to this. This is, if you don't get anything else, would you take this? Would you ask God to equip you and give you peace and make you into the kind of person that's easy to get along with, that encourages others, that gives confidence and strength to other people, and who stands strong in bringing glory to God through your faith in Jesus Christ? That should be our prayer every day. God, make me that kind of person, because that's what your word says I'm destined to be. I'm put here to be. Let's pray. Father, take this word and really bring it home, that it transform us, that whoever came in here without peace will have it. Whoever came in here angry, upset, hurt at you, God, life, the world, would now find peace, would now find comfort, and now find healing. Whoever came in here grieving the Holy Spirit through temper and or addictions or saying and doing things and cussing people out, whatever it is, and just sharp tongue and no sympathy or empathy with other people, God, remove that and just cleanse and purify. Then you just pray, God, take this from us and cleanse us. Whoever came in here hurt in some way, physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever it is, God, heal. Take that out. Remove it from us. You're the God that heals diseases, that forgives sins, that mends broken hearts, wounded minds. God, you heal relationships. You're the great God that provides all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You're the God who can give us the money we need. We need it. We need these things, to not be in debt, not to be having to be sick, not to be depressed, not to be out and all the time out and out of it. Just God, to be joyful, bringing joy to others, hope to others, goodness to others, grace to others. God, make that happen in our lives. Bind the devil from us and fill us, God, to overflowing with your Holy Spirit as rivers of living water, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.